reveal something to you in it that resonates with your heart, that you pick up from it. Right, who wants to be first? I'm not going to ask, just as you feel, come forward and take the mic and speak how you what God resonates in your heart out of this video.
I just felt that the Lord is a beacon of light. Is a beacon of light in our lives. Like the lighthouse that was steadfast in the sea. Our Father, Lord Jesus, is always steadfast for us, for all our highs and our lows. That's what resonated to me. How steadfast the Lord is, how firm He is in our life, and how strong He is, and how He stands for us. Okay, thank you.
Something that struck me as a someone who's put my trust in Jesus is how when he heard that helicopter, he was thinking maybe someone came for me, and he went to that door. And just how often when the pressure's on, we find ourselves in the Lord. We know He's our strong tower. We know He's our safe place. But so often we're still listening for maybe there's salvation from somewhere else. And just again that thing of, there is no safer place than finding ourselves in the Lord. Like, we mustn't let our ears hear other options of being rescued, that we should just abide in Him. And especially the worse the storm gets, the more we should find ourselves deep in Him.
Amen. And for me, it is a thing of like growing intimacy. Like, when you're far away from the Lord, it's so dangerous, and the waves and everything just tosses you all over the place. And then what stuck with me was like every day they went when it's low tide, there was a little bit and a little bit and a little bit where they built up this strong tower. So it's easy to say, okay, we must just rely on Jesus and then we will weather the storms. And when going gets tough, they like we run to the tower, which, what does the scripture say? The righteous man runs to the tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Amen. I give her eye support. It's easy to quote that, but it takes time, almost, that growing in intimacy. It took 7 years for you to have that space where you know, where that foundation is built, where you know, okay, this is how I tap into that strong tower. This is how I cultivate that intimacy with Jesus. Because when the storms come, like, everything else fades away. And the helicopters go away. Like, there's just Jesus. And if you don't build the tower, if you don't put in the effort to build the tower when it's low tide, like, the high tide will come and then everything almost gets destroyed. So it's that gradual building, like fixate. They were talking about sport before church, like becoming fit enough to run in the mountains. Like, it takes time to build that fitness, that intimacy with Jesus.
I was just aware of the purpose that was behind building the tower. If everybody wasn't so focused on the salvation of all the souls, they wouldn't have persisted. And I was just reminded that all of the work that goes into each one of us personally, it's all about you, but it's not about you at all. It's all about the salvation of the souls. And yeah, there's a lot of effort and a lot of love going into your purification and the way you are built up. But in the end, it's not about the glory of the tower, it's about the salvation of the souls.
I've never heard this story, and it's really remarkable. What came to mind for me is that they didn't have the technology that we have today to do what they did. But what struck me is in one part of the video, they said that the waves were so fierce, it broke down the front door
off the bottom level. And then later on, they said that he went out, and when he realized his mistake, he went back inside and closed the door. So then I thought, okay, so there's a discrepancy there. And then I said to the Lord, why are you showing me this? And he said, because I am the truth, the way, and the life. It doesn't matter how amazing the story looks and what the story is that the world is showing you. If you want to go in through the doorway to eternal life, I'm the only way.
Yeah, on the video, I just see like I see there were a group of people who made this tower, like scientists, builders, and yeah, many so people. It's not only one man who built it or one artist only or one whoever, but it's a group. They combine together to build this beautiful thing. So as us in church, as we build church, for a church to be strong, we mustn't stand like alone, just saying, no, I must build church alone. Church can't be built by a person alone. Church built by a group of people, builders, plumbers, carpenters, all the group of architects, so that will build the strong thing in a church. So build a strong church. Yeah, we need to be cooperate together so that we come up with a good structure, good church structure. We need to cooperate together. And if we cooperate together, even if the storms comes, even if any harmful weathers, or even if anything bad come in the church, if you are build our thing together, we can't be defeated. We stand stronger if you stand as one church.
Ek wil net sê dat 'n ligtoring kom in sy volle waarde in die nag. Die lig is veronderstel om mense te waarsku in die nag. So ons lig moet in die nag skyn. En die duisternis.
So, mens kan so baie vat van hierdie video, nee. Die kop het nou teen 300 km uur gehardloop. But the thing about this is, and I think if for me and Tom and some of the guys here who started the church, it's this video is all about how you start building a church. And the first thing they did is they went, what did they look for? The rock. So you always start building on that rock. If you start building a church, and then it takes a lot of people to start building that church, like what's his name? Yeah, Shepherd said. Sorry, I forgot his name. Quick. But the main thing here is when you build a church, the storms always come, and it breaks down the storms. And so for us who has built a church, we know that this picture is exactly how it is to build a church. But why do you build a church? Just like she said, you know, you're going to have to save people. And at the end of the day, building a church means that we are building this to be a lighthouse out there. And then, you know, sometimes the devil does come, like that helicopter, try to pull it out of your what the Lord really wants you to do. And you can actually slip and lose what you're supposed to do. But and I think the other thing is when building a church, it can sometimes really become quite lonely, building a church, because you sometimes build it alone, or sometimes you build it with as a leader, and sitting in that tower is like waiting on the Lord. Doesn't matter how long it takes or how long you think it's going to take. You have to stay there. You have to be, you have to trust the Lord for what's next. You have to trust the Lord for what it is that He wants to do. I can go on for a lot of stuff, but this is the perfect picture for building a church. And if you understand how the Lord works, this is the picture you need to look at.
So vir oggend toe ek voorberei het vir vanoggend het die Here my gevat na Psalm 111 toe. Nou ek het 'n vermoede gehad Tom gaan die video deel. Maar soos Colette het ek ook nog glad nie die video gesien nie. Ek moet sê ek het al die foto gesien van die ligtoring, maar ek het nie toe die agter dit geken nie. Maar Psalm 111, voor ek hom lees, dink aan wat jy nou gesien het en dink aan wat allemaal gesê het. En ek moet sê ek het vanoggend Psalm 111 gebring aan Tom en ons het bietjie gepraat en ek moet sê ek dink die aanvanklike idee was iets anders, maar dit is wonderlik hoe die Here werk. So ek gaan hom net vir julle lees en dan dink julle aan wat gesê is vanoggend en wat julle gesien het in die video. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All whom delight in him should ponder them. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. How gracious and how merciful is our Lord. He gives food to those who fear him. He always remembers his covenant. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the land of other nations. All he does is just and good, and all his commandments are trustworthy. They are forever true, to be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. He has paid the full ransom for his people. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. En dan kom die einde, die laaste versie. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. And all who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. En dit pas net vir my so goed in by die video van vanoggend en alles wat allemaal gesê het. En ja, ek kan niks add tot dit nie. Ek net vir die Here sê, wow.
Net iets sê oor die lighuis, dat die lig waar daar gebrand het, is, kom nie van kracht af, het is woning van paraffin of wat ook al die mense gebruik het, en by die lighuis uit te kom, waar die lighuis staan, moes die water is kalm wees, om met die boot daar te kom. Jy kan nie in die storm aan te gaan nie. En dan daar is die lift in, jy moet opklim met die trap. Ek weet of jy al in die lighuis was, jy. So die trap loop al in die rondte, jy kan nie stijl opklim so nie. So na boot te kom, is nogal, jy moet nogal fit wees daarvoor, en die lighuis skyn ook, jy sien uitgedraai, nou elke lighuis in die land skyn, wat vir die ouwens beskeep, hulle het die daai tyd, voorne gehad, en sikker goed op die boot, die lighuis draai in die rondte, en die het gees syn, dus jy sien as jy enig by die plek staan, waar jy enkie van die lighuis is af is, en sien die nacht, die lighuis geef jou die ouwense syne, geef twee syne, svannige syne, en starige syne, dan weet jy precies, dit is Mosselbaai, of Hermanus, of waar ook al. En die lighuis is gewoon op een gevallige plek gebouw, dit is daar waar die rotse is, waar hom nou gewys het, waar die water, hoe meer brand is die water, maar hoe vlakker is het dan, val in storms, in die diepsee is het golwe, die brands breek het aan. So, die punt is maar net, dat die, ek wil maar net noem, hulle het nie daar genoem nie, dat die lighuis draai gewoonlik om die syne te gee, vir die manne te waarskie, dat hulle op waar hulle is, op die plek.
Just to sum it up, is dat die lig het nie sy kracht, die licht het nie sy kracht gekry van elektrisiteit nie. We don't get our power from anything else except the Holy Spirit. It's not easy to get there. It takes effort. It takes commitment to get to God, the lighthouse. And you've got to be fit in the word, fit in prayer. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. And the signal that we should give to the world is a signal of, someone said it, love. we should give a signal of love to the world as a lighthouse.
Ek was getref daardeur dat die rots, dieselfde rots wat in die boot het plek geloop het, is die rots wat op die lighuis gebou is. So, die kerk word op die rots gebou, maar teen die selfde rots kan ons te pletter loop. As ons nie luister in die rots sien. Dit is die ene ding. En die ander ding is die community, wat hulle, dat dit in die community gebou is. En dan uiteindelik was die ou wat op die, in die toering was in solitude. En baie, die groot deel van ons groei en trusting en gebeur in solitude, waar niemand is van weet nie, ek en die Here weet daarvan.
Ek dink vir my, heel in die begin, waar ons gehoor het van een man wat besluit het, maar hy is so enthousiasties en so, hy wil alles in sy vermoë doen om die ander mense te red. Ek dink daar het dit vir my definitief 'n groot impak gemaak, want daar's baie ander mense wat geweet het van almal wat dood is in die see. En almal ek dink het gedink, kom ons probeer om die plan uit te sorteer, maar daai een man het besluit, hy gaan vir almal om hom inspireer. So wat 'n passie het hy daarvoor gehad. En hy het toe vir almal gevra, help my asseblief, hier is die geld, ek vra vir julle om in 7 jaar hierdie lig toring te bou. So ek dink die hele ding het eintlik by hom begin. So dit voel net vir my, die dinge wat in sy verlede gebeur het, het gemaak dat hy so passie het om te help in hierdie sekere situasie. So ek voel baie mense, ons allemaal wat hier sit, is iets in ons verlede gebeur, en uit dit moet daar 'n passie kom om vorentoe te gaan en baie mense te kan help.
One man had to die so that the funds can be released to build the lighthouse. One man had to die so that we can become the lighthouse of this world. He gave his life up for us. He became the rock for the lighthouse that has been built. And his name is Jesus Christ. And it's for him that this lighthouse is shining its light of love.
Iets wat vir my uitgestaan het is soos daai versie wat Jesus gesê het van in this world we will have trouble, het my opgekom en dit my so gevang dat elke persoon wat binne in die lighuis was het nooit 'n druk gevoel om self die golwe te moet resist nie. Soos hulle was veilig in die lighuis en hulle het geweet, maar die lighuis sal my beskerm, die lighuis weerstaan die storms. En iets wat ek gevoel het soos geestelik, kom vind ek myself baie keer en nou voel ek vir myself, maar ek moet nou hierdie resist, ek moet hierdie storm of troubles deal mee. Maar is eintlik waar ons rus in Jesus, dat hy is die een wat ons storms resist, hy is die een wat ons veilig hou.
Something that just really stood out for me, it was where the guy said, when he was inside the tower, he said that if he had stood further away from the door, the water would have came in and killed him. And you know, for me, like God just really showed me that door represents Jesus. You know, if you stay, like we have to stay close to Jesus, you know, if you stay far away from him, it leaves so much room for the enemy to come in and kill and destroy the things that God has given us. And even if you look at the water, like water isn't really something that's dangerous, that feels dangerous. Like we wash with it, we drink it, but in that same way, the water represents the things that we struggle with, you know, the things that we don't necessarily think are dangerous. Like it could be a mindset, it could be that small sin that doesn't feel that dangerous, but if you allow it, it can overwhelm you and lead you away from God. And just another thing is, like the water is very powerful, and you know, the Bible talks about there's a creature that God created, Leviathan, and according to God's word, that no human being can defeat that creature because it's so powerful, and it says that only God can defeat the creature. And even that water that's so powerful, it just shows how powerful God is. You know, every big strong thing in our lives, all it does is it just shows that God is, it just shows how more powerful God really is. So just something that God laid on my heart.
Yeah, I think laaste 2 weke is regtige boodskap wat die Here vir my gebring het. Is klomp sonde waarmee ons baie keer kan sukkel, kan lyk soos hierdie golwe wat ons moet daar staan, maar die golwe is so groot, dit gaan elke keer net ons ligtoring plat klap. Hoekom wil ons ewe nog steeds daar gaan staan? En ek dink wat die Here net vir my gewys het is, key tot dit alles is, jou fondasie moet reg wees en jou fondasie moet in hom wees. En ons kan so fokus op hierdie sonde, laat ons visie weggevat word van eintlik die fondasie wat die Here vir ons moet wees. En vir my was dit om in te sluit by my kerk in Stellenbosch en persoonlike diep verhoudings te bou met die ouens daar. En ja, dit het al klaar so baie groot testimonies veroorsaak en het om die fokus vanaf daai struggles te shift na die Here toe.
Ja, ek het die eerste deel waar die, waar ons sê die klip is nie heeltyd bes oor die waar, ek wil nou sê beskikbaar. So Jesus God is altyd daar, maar daar is sekere oomblikke van grace in ons lewe waar ons moet respond wanneer hy sigbaar is. So ons moet nie dink daar is altyd tyd nie. Ons moet, wat is die woord? Today is the day.
Hebrews 3.
So ek het nou net iets gehoor, toe dit die groot storm was, het hy bo by die lig gesit, en hy het net die storm gehoor, en die gebou het gebewe, en die Bybel sê ook dat sy stem klink soos waters wat dreun. So dit kan ook wees dat in die plek van solitude kan jy sy stem hoor, en hy het uitgesê hy was bang, maar dit kan ook fear of the Lord wees, wat meer respect is en soos dat hy, ek weet nie eintlik om dit te sê nie, maar ja, dit, dat jy sy stem kan hoor, selfs al gaan dit moeilik.
Ai, ek het nou gewonder verlang of ek moet opstaan en iets sê, maar ek het iets wat my nogals gevang het, ons dink baie keer as die rof raak, hoe gaan ons daar deurkom, en ons bid om deur daai tye te kom, en ek is seker die ou in die lighuis, het as die storm sterk raak, het hy moontlik ook gebid, want hy was dalk bang, menslik bang, dat die lighuis sal meegee. Maar nou dink ek terug, ag, aan klomp goed wat gebeur het, Charlie Kirk se story, 'n persoonlike geval waarmee ek sukkel met 'n kollega wat nie 'n goeie diagnose gekry het nie. En dan wonder jy partykeer, wat is jou plek in die wêreld? Wat is jou doel as Christen? Wat is jou geleentheid om 'n verskil te maak? En dan dink jy aan die ou in die lighuis. Miskien moes hy in die storm, of het hy miskien het hy in die storm nie gebid vir sy eie veiligheid nie. Miskien het hy in die storm gebid vir die geleentheid om gesien te word, vir die geleentheid om 'n verskil te maak in iemand anders se lewe. Hy was klaar gered, dit behoort nie vir hom 'n verskil te maak of die lighuis gaan of nie. As die lighuis gaan, is dit dalk vir hom 'n goeie stap, want hy gaan hemel toe. En toe dink ek net, miskien in die moeilike tye, moet ons nie bid vir onself om deur die moeilike tye te kom. Miskien moet ons bid vir die geleentheid in die moeilike tyd om gesien te word. En die geleentheid in die moeilike tyd is om 'n voorbeeld, want ons allemaal weet, dit is die beste ministerie wat jy kan hê, is om as 'n voorbeeld te lewe en nie om vir mense te vertel en te sê noodwendig hê. Maar miskien moet ons in die moeilike tye bid vir hoe kan ek in hierdie krisis en hoe kan ek in hierdie moeilike tyd 'n beter lig wees vir mense om te sien en dit jou ministerie maak.
So ek het meer as een dingetjie, een van die goed wat ek aan gedink het is toe die ou dood gegaan het en hy het vir hulle 7 jaar gegee om die lighuis klaar te bou. Toe dink ek net soos ons dink ons het nog tyd, ons kan nog het doen, maar hoe lang gaan jy wag voor jy begin bou of goed begin doen? En die ander ene wat ek gedink het is toe die ou die foto gevat het in die tyd van een van die rofste storms, was het iets mooi wat hoeveel mense gesien het, wat allemaal van foto's het, wat in huise hang en goed. In die oomblik van swaar kry, sien jy die mooi, sien jy vir God. Ja.
Wat vir my uitgestaan het, is dat sist ek eerst die viertoring sien, is dit letterlijk onmoontlik gelyk om 'n viertoring daar te bou. En ek weet net, soos die Here bou sy kerk, juist in die plekke waar dit soos die rofste, die moeilikste, soos die donkerste is, en soos, he is the way maker, hy kan sy kerk bou op enige plek. So, ja.
So, die storm is rof, en die lighuis het veilig te hou, maar in die storm weet ons self van gaan kruip het weg, storm gaan voorbij gaan, this too shall pass. En het voel my, die Here vir my sê, but that's not always gonna be the case. One day, this will not pass. As ons nie reg is nie, dan gaan die storm aanhou vir ewig, and that's eternity in hell if we don't open our hearts to Jesus. So, yes, the storms will pass, but not forever, and that's, yeah.
Monica. So, something that stood out for me was they spoke about after the lighthouse was built, they needed to check the foundations because they saw the foundations had shifted. And I think so often we forget to check our foundations. And yeah, I'm just reminded of that because what am I standing on? What am I being built on?
Goeiemôre almal. Hierdie gaan dalk nou 'n bietjie heeltemal van die punt af wees. Maar ek voel die Here sê vanoggend vir my, ons moenie iemand wees wat eers doodgaan voordat daar iets gebeur nie. Ons moet terwyl ons nog op die aarde is, ons alles gee vir die Here terwyl ons lewe en nie wag vir 'n volgende persoon om dit te doen nie, maar die eie ek moet myself nederig maak vir die Here om iets te begin terwyl ek nog lewendig is en die waardasie daarvan kan ervaar.
Is goed.
So one of the things that stood out for me in this picture was like the lidar is a light for the boats so that they can see now where they are, and also for us, we are the light of the world, but we are also a light for one another. In that sense, like if you see your brother sin, if you see someone is struggling, that we will step in and encourage that person and lift them up and bring them closer to the Lord. So even if when we see someone is stepping out and it's a dangerous place for them to be, because we are in a family together, in a church, in a body, that we also be that light where we go and say, hey, you're stepping on dangerous grounds, and pull them in so that we can help one another, like the scripture says, encourage one another daily. So as a church, that we actually live that, where we would encourage one another daily, lift one another up, and be a light for one another also, as we are a light for the world. Yeah.
for me, two things stood out really. The first one was when they were building the lighthouse in the first place, it kept on getting knocked down. And then during those quiet sections, they could build again. And it's much like the Lord does to us. So we go through a storm, and then in that solitude, He'll build you up and teach you individually how to deal with those things in the future. So you learn those things. And the second part is that when the lighthouse was built and the foundation was not great, they put cables into the ground, into the rocks all the way around. And those cables represent each other. So the cables represent our brothers and sisters that maybe help us through, like Ramon said, through those parts, like they anchor you. And then in the church and the greater part as well, we have community leaders and elders and apostolic that hold us as a church solid. So that's just what I felt there.
No, it's fine. Amazing guys. That was just 4 or 5, eh, Tom? Yo. Rich, eh? What? Yo. No, it's incredible. How amazing how one picture can just be broken down into so many little messages for each one where we're at. And I just want to sort of, I think, tie it together. I think much of what I wrote down when we spoke earlier the week about what we're going to do this Sunday, I felt the Lord gave me that morning, that scripture. Maybe you can just put it up and we can read it. Luke 6, we all know it, but there's certain parts that I never read it. I never saw that part. Okay, next one. Okay, yeah, wait. Let's go back. Yeah. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Waarom noem julle my Here, my gehoorsaam nie wat ek sê? Because this very scripture about building on the rock comes from where Jesus says, if you hear my word and do it. And there's another place in Ephesians 3:17 where it says that you dwell in Christ, but then you walk in Christ. So there's an action. Okay, just to confirm that. And just to take that scripture further, next one, verse 47. Okay, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. Next one. He's like a man building a house, and this is the part I didn't see, who dug deep. I never saw that. He dug deep. So he saw a place where he wants to build, and he realized that I must dig until he finds the rock. Okay. So let's just pause there for a minute. Personally, my day-to-day job in the week, I'm a structural engineer. So, Rian, there at the wind farm, there's a few structural engineers at the moment. I think they're pouring concrete probably this moment. Are they? Not at this moment. So he's on the wind farm. So obviously the foundation of a wind tower, I mean, its purpose is to take wind. So it must be very strong, right? So as an engineer, probably the worst thing for me is a client, homeowner, or a property owner, he wants to build a house, and he gets to the property and says, the builder tells him this is the price, and then I get there and I tell him, no, you must go down a meter further, or even 2 meters. Or in Malchus last year, after the flooding, the soil was so saturated, the building started cracking, and we did soil tests, and they went down 14 meters, and we didn't find rock. So I had to tell the client, find another property. This, you shouldn't dig here. This is not foundation. Yeah? Some people dig in the wrong place. Sometimes we look for Jesus in the wrong place. So that thing of the foundation is the most important thing. I think it came out very strongly this morning. It will get tested, like Kenny said. the wind will come. If the foundation breaks down, then you need to start again. God will test it. He will build you up, test you. Build you up further, test you. Break down a bit. Build you up again, test you. Until you're sure that your foundation and your character for us as Christians, your character is consolidated, is strong. Because he can't take you further if you haven't passed that test. The other frustrating thing about foundations is that you can't see them. And that how often on a site I speak to the clients and he says this thing cost him just 300,000 rand already, and he's not even got anywhere, there's not even a brick above the ground. Everything's below the ground. He's never going to see it again. And foundations feel like that. Like Jesus said, you build something, but you won't see it. It doesn't feel like there's something of worth. But that's where we trust God for the way that He says we must build. And that is the way, that is the strong foundation. So we build not on our own wisdom. How oftentimes I get to a client and he says, no, it'll be fine. He says, yeah, it's fine now because the weather's nice. Wait until Yellen Swan and Dam, wait until that rain pours down in January. You think it's summer in January. Rain pours down and suddenly your foundation swells, it's cracking. So we need to trust God for the way that He says we must build foundation. Even when we can't see it. Okay, then just the last point before we land it. Just some thoughts on how to ensure good building. And I think it came out already, but I just want to tie it together. Can we go to Titus 3? You're just battling. That's fine. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days on malice and envy, hated by others, hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Spirit. When I was preparing for this, I felt that word washing, that it's like building a foundation, building a bit more, building a bit more. The word speaks of the word washing us, regenerating us. And that is, I think somebody mentioned it also, that there's a daily discipline of allowing the word to wash you. And somebody else said it, Ramon, I think, allowing the ones around you to inspect your life. For me to say to my wife, to my children, to my swari, to my elders, to the ones around me, what do you see? If you see anything, please tell me, because I don't want to come to the pearly gates and then I have to deal with it. I would rather be refined now and be of use to the kingdom. So that's one way in which we build, is by allowing the word to wash us. And the second one is allowing those around us to point us where the cracks are. And one specific thing that I just want to be open about, that where I saw a crack in this week, I already confessed it to these guys. But there was a podcast that came on the Josh Jane website, and it was about parenting style. And we kind of very active in terms of researching good parenting styles, and then this thing came up, and it was exactly the topic that we started doing a few years ago. And I could feel in my heart, like, why didn't they ask me to come speak on the podcast? It's ridiculous. I didn't invent the method of parenting. I didn't write the book. I'm not a child psychologist. I'm just a parent. But in my heart, there was this thing of, hey, I know all about this. Why don't you ask me? It's ridiculous. But it's a small thing. But what did that in that moment tell me? That I want to be recognized. There's something in my heart that wants recognition. I want to be significant. And it's a small thing, just something that happened this week. But in bringing it to the light in front of all of you this morning, in future you guys can hold me accountable and tell me you just want to be cool now. Again. No. Please don't. Yeah, so I just wanted to point that out, just an example. I mean, I already confessed it, so it's in the light, but I just wanted to give it to you as an example of how something small like that, you can just bring it into the light, and then it's done. And we confess our sins to one another, and the Lord can bring light into our hearts. And we can walk in the light as He is in the light. Okay. So, I was just landing it. Tom, can I conclude with those three? Not...
For the youngsters, it wasn't me preaching 45 minutes. It's yourselves. The one thing that I just want to bring to our attention, and as we're sitting here, is that everything is going well with us. Am I right? Everything is going well with us. We're living in a country that's a little bit dear Makar, but everything is going well with us. Everything is going well in our lives at this moment. Am I right? It was in the calmness of the sea that ship sank. Because they couldn't see the danger lurking under the sea. They couldn't hear the waves crushing against the rocks. It was in the calmness that ship went astray. And the warning for us is that in the calmness, we can fall. You see, Corinthians says that no wonder Satan disguises himself as an angel of the light. And this whole thing is that when the sea is rough and everything is rough, we can hear it, we can understand it, and we can pray against all these things, but it's in the calmness that we've got to be accountable to one another. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Now, I was dumb a few years ago because I walked the city at night in Botswana. And let me tell you, while the lions were roaring, we were okay. As when a lion starts attacking, it is quiet. If you hear him roar, you know where he is. But when the silence comes, you've got no idea what's waiting for you. And that night, the lions roared, and I was afraid. But thank God they only roared and not attacked. So, what I want to land this is, everything that I've got in here is what everybody spoke about. But the main thing is, be sure that in the calmness that you are with God, that you dig in the calmness, in the places where we think it's not necessary, dig deeper, deeper, deeper. We've got to find that rock, and we've got to dig into that rock. He says, "Search me, seek me. Attach yourself to the rock." It's not when the storms come. that we start praying. We start praying before the time. The lighthouse will be there in the storms and also in the quietness. He will always be there. Jesus Christ is the rock, and we are the lighthouse. We are the one that he says, be a light on the hill. Be a city on the hill. We are the lighthouse. We are the light of the lighthouse. And the picture needs to be the picture of love cemented on the hearts of people. Love of Christ. Melanie told the story of someone that just died now. Her last word. Why don't you come and tell it?
I was thinking the whole time. I've already said something. I can't share it, but it's been burning on my heart. A friend of mine, her mother passed away a couple of weeks ago, and she had a few strokes before she died. And after a couple of strokes, she started speaking English. This is like a farmer's wife from Bethel. She's like 88 years old, and she started speaking English for some other reason. Maybe because you don't need your whole brain like with Afrikaans. But anyway, sorry. So she, one of the very last things she said, she was lying, she couldn't move anymore, and she was lying with her eyes closed, and her four children were standing around her bed. And she said, I can't see, I can't see. And her daughter said, Mama se oë is toe, maak mama se oë oop. And she said, she kept her eyes closed, and she said, oh, now I see. I see Jesus, but the nations can't see him. Go to the nations. And that became the message at her funeral of, we can see Jesus, but the nations can't see him, so go to the nations.
So when she said that is, let us be the pictures hanging on the walls of offices, sitting rooms, wherever we go, the picture of Jesus Christ, the rock and the lighthouse, cemented on people's hearts. That's what we should do. Someone said, don't wait for now to do it. I think it's, do it. When it's today, do it. When it's today, give your heart to Christ if you haven't. When it's today, let your light shine. Okay. We're going into worship now. But before we go into worship, I want you to sit where you are for a minute. Because out of this place, there's communion, and we're going into worship. But I'm not going to lead you to communion. I'm not going to let everybody come through to communion and say, let's have communion. I want you to sit with God now and ask him to reveal things that is not of him. Because the word says, repent and then come into communion. Or just thank him where you are, for the place where you are. That he is the one in your life. sit here, Father, sometimes we cannot see. Sometimes there's this mist that keeps the light away. Spoken into each one's heart through the Holy Spirit. And as we come into worship now, Father, that we will come in a place of giving ourselves as an offering to you during worship. Placing ourselves on the altar through worship.
Upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. Be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven. all difference on it. We praise your name. We'll be right back. feel I give everything. I give everything. You are the treasure in the field. I give everything. I give everything. Yes, you are Lord. Yes, you are the treasure in the field. I give everything. I give everything. Yes, you are Lord. I give everything. Jesus. Christ to die is gain. It's about you. It's all about you. I count all things as loss for the sake of knowing you, knowing you. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's all about.
It's when we discover the treasure that we give everything. It's when we realize that Jesus Christ, without Him, that He is the treasure of life. Those that come and confess that He is Christ, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one that has come from heaven, the one that has become Son of Man, but God. He that gave His life on the cross so that the sins that were had to be put onto us as, through God as wrath unto us, He has taken that. He says, I'm the way, I'm the only way to the kingdom of heaven. I am the truth, and I'm telling you the truth now, that it's only through me that you will have eternal life. And I'm the life. It is only through me that is the way that you will have the life of eternity one day. He says, come and confess with your mouth. Confess that you accept me as Jesus Christ into your lives. Confess with your mouth and repent of your sins. That is the only way that we can be sure. With Him through the Word, through community, through the church, you buy and you dig and you grapple and you fight it out. Stand here, and there's somebody here that has never stood up and said, Jesus Christ, I stand in front of you now, and I confess that I want to accept you in my life. I want to be part of your life. I want you to be with me and in me. I need you. I'm a sinner. Someone here that has never done it. confess Jesus Christ as his Savior, who want to accept him as King and Lord in their lives, to change their lives a 180 degree from the life that they're living now to a life for Jesus Christ. Just put up your hand. If there's anyone that wants to confess Jesus Christ, just put up your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. Then at this place where we are now, is that there's anything in your life that is keeping you to reach your full purpose in Christ? Just where you are, just ask God to forgive you. Just ask Him to come into you and reveal the thing that's keeping you from a full life with Him. And know that as you repent, He says that your sins are forgiven and it's taken away.
The highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all, and all terms and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name.